Trigger Treat. This night of particulars was thick with a mix of cold turf fog. Even the darkness had a scent of its own, fueled by the spume of petrichor. The footpaths and slitted roofs sheened with the oil of the rankling dank air, while the fits and starts of attempted rain delayed my mischief-making no end. I, for one, armed with nothing more than a handful of party poppers, had been spoiling for a fright on this All Hallows dark eve night. This is how it was. We'd moved from Irish Street to get away from the bombs and the bomb scares at the barracks. We weren't long in when the off-duty RUC man knocked our door. My mother was right, if only in hindsight. There were indeed ructions. But if she was mothering, then I, for want of a better word, was childing. I paid little heed to her advice on our first hallowed eve on Church Street. Granted, I had skirted beyond the confines of the permitted boundary line of Pillarwell Lane, as 10-year-olds are wont to. Still, it was to be a trespass too far, with outcomes the worst of which would not have made a great birthday gift for my old man who, on this night, some 30-odd years earlier, was himself, and for his sins, born amongst the witches. I knew I would pay for my infraction, my excursion being an incursion into their fretful adult world. But for the life of me, and the me of life, I'll never understand why, after rapping a door on Church Street, I spun round, closed the outer gate, duked down, execution style, and faced the door with party popper primed and aimed in my left hand, string tightly wound around the trigger finger of my right, ready for the fright. And then, zip! My sly rap went unheeded, causing me to think that the occupants of the house, like most of the others on the street, were simply letting on to be out. They were spoil sports, the lot of them, conscientiously objecting to a just war between darkness and light, with curtains drawn tight, save for a chink to see out if needs be. Slumped down on their sofas, dinner plates on chest, and with the big light off, they hid from wee skitters like myself. But the blue hue from the TV gave their game away. Warm breath, twitches, sweat, all fed the focused moment. As I crouched, the night enveloped me. But no show. I was about to stand down and venture forth in search of other devilry when the target came into view. He creaked the door ajar, the crack of blackness complementing the mute orange tones of the sodium-lit street. That's when I should have called it a day, but for the night that was in it and in league with the spirits of the Celtic Festival of the Dead, I pulled the string. Flash, crack, sulphur, and a giddy squib of confetti. The door responded with a bang and a shudder, giving me quite the gunk. But something was off, not quite right, as I tried to scuttle into the hallowed night. My feet became breeze blocks, hampering flight, as in the worst of dreams, and I rued my make-do costume, my father's overcoat, into which you could have put me four times over and three times under. My cloak of invisibility? So I thought, until eight words delivered in semi-automatic staccato stopped me dead in my tracks. Hold it right there! Do not fucking move! The owner of the words had commanded time itself to halt. A neighbour passing with her dog stood and stared. I tried to place her face but couldn't. Unlike my mother's warnings, this much I did know. These eight words unheeded would not go. Is that gun pointed in my direction real or imitation? Brought out one errand for this kind of occasion? A tad excessive, I thought, given our location. Overkill, even. All of me right there needed to believe that he was at it. However, this was no trickster up in the ante. It turned out I had taken a plastic knife to a gunfight. I went from being anchored firmly in the last paragraph of childhood to being a spectator with a bird's eye view, at which moment I began holding my breath. I'd forgotten to buy eggs, nor had I given my mother her change from the butcher's, or his regards, for that matter. I hadn't bothered to ask my dad for the loan of his coat, or wish him a happy birthday, back when he still did birthdays. The sulphur lingered, its film clung to the walls of my nose, and reeked of matches on a rain-soaked coat. I'd been granted a last-minute stay. Trembling uncontrollably in his right hand, his gun remained trained on me as his left arm reached out like a snake charmer's and pulled down my gaping hood, exposing a boy's flattened, matted hair and face. My face. He'd given up the ghost. His face now drawn, older in appearance than our years combined, he let out something between a gurn and a gulder. "Oh God, young Hanvey, I nearly blew your head off." I didn't cry, but I wish I had. At least this would have been some reaction. The father-son part, I was no stranger to. The rest, a ripe collection of words, a fiction by any standards. Let alone for my 10-year-old brain, words that still sit with me uneasily all these years later. I'd be hard pushed to say which of the pair of us was more floored by the ordeal. I'd say him, he might say me. But one thing I do know is that I wasn't the only one there out of his depth on that eve of All Hallows. My youth, as intended, shielded me to a degree from the magnitude of the moment, though all these years later I still don't fully appreciate how close I came. Nor have I learned what, if anything, to do with those words, "I nearly blew your head off." I guess some words cast longer shadows than others. From knock knock to penny drop, there's two words for each minute of intimacy shared, stretched out over each decade, till now. The ferocity that propelled his earlier command had all but gone. His pre-teary state allowed me the opportunity to slip back into my childhood and reclaim my game. The third time the pointer of the gun spoke, he issued his second command. "Go home now, and I'll be over in a minute to chat with your parents." When the off-duty RUC officer darkened our door, he wasn't only invited into our home, but also into, and unbeknownst to him, an elaborate game of let's pretend, initiated by my mother, who, unlike me, would not be afforded the luxury of youth to shield her from this near miss. In fairness, she did let him say his piece before she went about tearing strips of him. Not everything was decipherable from the echoed remove of the bathroom. Their exchange was muddy and at times circuitous, almost mimicking the nuances of a political debate. Though it impressed upon me how broken-hearted and irreparably hurt the northern accent sounded. My mother said, "It's Halloween, for Christ's sake. He's only a child out playing trick-or-treat." If it was satisfaction the off-duty RUC man was after, then he too had knocked the wrong door. My mother went into primal mode and mounted my defence. It seemed she refused point blank to acknowledge our geography, but there really was no getting away from it. This was our corner of the woods, a place where something as innocent as trick-or-treating appeared to some like a murder bid. The off-duty RUC officer was shown the door. Then it was my turn. But within moments, my mother's stern voice cracked, faltered, and then fell silent. Only now, with one of my own, can I fully picture the deep well and gush of emotion that the competing feeling of anger, succumbing to its false friend, relief, may have afforded her. A short-lived, if welcome, release on that eve of All Hallows. We stared at each other for a moment, mother, child, mere figures in a kitchen surrounded by a darkness both real and make-believe. Her hand on my head against her pounding heart. I felt if only I could make it up to her, somehow, some way, someday, I would, maybe.